Hi, I'm Caleb. I'm from UWA. I, as mentioned, teach in Asian studies there, and I'm also at the tail end of my PhD. It was actually meant to be due to be submitted in a few weeks, but I'm not, for a few reasons, I'm not going to make that deadline. One of them being I stupidly broke my leg this year playing Australian rules football, so that sort of took a bit of time out of my research. But so the way I've ended up in Korean studies has been somewhat of a roundabout way. My undergraduate degrees were in law and English. And at the time, I very much harbored ambitions to sort of practice law in China and Asia a little bit more broadly. So for that reason, I really did focus on sort of Chinese law as an undergrad, but an opportunity arose to go to South Korea to study at Yonsei on a scholarship. And I took this, and I, at that point in time, though, knew absolutely nothing about Korea. And it just so happened the week before I departed, or a few weeks before I departed, there was a Park Chan-wook retrospective that played on SBS, which is in Australia, a sort of broadcasting station that I guess focuses on sort of foreign films. And I never forget, and it's a very formative moment in my life, sitting down for the first time and watching my first Korean film, which happened to be Old Boy. Sat down very late at night, and my dad was with me, which was really odd because my dad was, you know, he's from the army, he's an engineer, he's very straight-laced, but he sat down and we together watched this film. And I remember just watching it and being absolutely enthralled and then utterly repulsed by the ending. And my first thought was, where on earth have I agreed to go on exchange to? But it was in Korea. I took a class that looked at crime, modernity, and detective fiction. And as a part of that class, we had weekly screenings of classic American film noirs. So Sunset Boulevard, The Big Sleep, The Maltese Falcon. And watching these, I began to notice certain similarities between them and Old Boy. I was quite interested by this. And the more Korean film I watched, or crime films more specifically, I noticed something similar going on as well. And that was sort of prompted this question of what is this about? And so that sort of was the makings of what has become my PhD project. Admittedly, though, in recent years since then, there has been a lot more mainstream recognition of Korean noir. There's been a whole bunch, as you can see on the screen, media articles talking about this rise of Korean noir and, you know, how South Korea became the home of noir film. There's a bunch of film festivals that have really been focused on screening Korean noir films. And then on top of that as well, there's been a lot of academic publications too. Since then, we've also seen sort of the critical acclaim or global success of many Korean noir films, beginning with Old Boy, which won a prize at Cannes Film Festival. We've seen films like A Bittersweet Life, The Chaser, I Saw the Devil, Burning, and most recently, Decision to Leave win national prizes or international prizes. Despite there being academic attention towards this, the publications that do exist are very limited. They tend to focus on certain films, certain filmmakers, or very specific periods in time. And for this reason, no scholar has yet sort of undertaken a comprehensive study historicizing Korean noir. And as this quote on the screen sort of demonstrates, much research remains to be undertaken into Korean noir. And so that's sort of, I guess, is what my PhD project and today's presentation partly intends to do. And so what my argument is that film noir in Korea is a discourse in which genre conventions constructed under particular conditions of production and consumption are utilized to articulate anxieties surrounding Korea's rapid development. So I'm going to unpack that a little bit more as we go through. So essentially this thesis, or my thesis and today's presentation, suggests that Korean noir films provide a subversive set of counter-narratives that challenge predominant narratives surrounding Korea's economic development and sort of the success story of this, okay? Korean noir, within a short space of time, Korea experienced everything from colonialism, war, authoritarianism, democratization, as we've just heard, and then economic crisis. And in some ways, this is what makes Korean history such a dynamic field to study. And this experience of sort of compressing everything into a small space of time and developing very, very rapidly during this as well has often been referred to as compressed modernity. And as a quote on the screen shows, you know, it's this idea that South Korea effectively condensed what Westerners had experienced over centuries or more into less than half a century. And so my argument is sort of that Korean noir is sort of depicting the other side or dark side of this rapid development. Admittedly, though, the concept of modernity in the case of Korea needs to be approached very cautiously. In the context of Korea, modernity has been conceptualized in a plethora of different ways, some of which are listed here on the screen. However, while there are significant differences in each of the approaches that we've got here, everything from Protestant modernity, colonial modernity, queer modernity, militarized modernity, one thing that they all have in common is they acknowledge the significance of development and economic development in Korea's experience of modernity. And this is because, as noted on the screen, Korean modernity has ultimately centered on economic development. It's typically flated with economic development, and for that reason, Korean modernity has typically been conceptualized in primarily economic terms. So for that reason, when I'm talking about compressed modernity and modernity, I'm particularly emphasizing the economic aspect of modernization here. However, the majority of studies that exist on compressed modernity typically tend to focus on Korea's economic success. This idea of the miracle on the Han River, you know, in a short space of time, this economy developed rapidly, okay? And essentially makes this argument that Korea's experience of modernity is a positive one, and it's one in which rapid capitalist development occurred in a short space of time. But in doing so, I think these studies simplistically depict Korea's experience of development. It shows it as a relatively smooth and peaceful capitalist transition towards modernity. And as a result, have ignored sort of the socio-political inequalities that have stemmed from this rapid development too. But as Hagen Kuhn famously noted, there is another side or another current of modernity which has occurred alongside and in reaction to the mainstream transformation. Past studies have really neglected to account for this, and particularly those parts of Korean society that were very much disenfranchised by capitalist transition. The 1997 financial crisis, though, often termed the IMF crisis in Korea, shattered this myth of the economic miracle in many ways. And it, on the, I guess, sort of highlighted the fact that it was actually a very precarious foundation that underlaid Korea's rapid economic development. Since then, inequality has arguably become only more heightened within Korea. And the discontentment that stems from this, I think, really highlights the need to reconsider the other side or the dark side of Korea's experience of compressed modernity. Now, many post-IMF studies have begun to sort of critically reflect upon this, but those that exist have tended to do so in primarily socioeconomic terms and with an aim to sort of look at the socioeconomic reasons underlying Korea's economic collapse in 1997. So little consideration has been given to other depictions of this dark side of compressed modernity, this dark side of development, especially those that existed prior to the IMF crisis. So I argue that Korean noir films provide a counter-narrative to these narratives of sort of success and development, one that highlights discontent surrounding Korea's economic development, and ones that are largely absent from a lot of idealist accounts. Okay, and so I think Korean noir really depicts sort of this underbelly. And especially if we look at Korean noir films from sort of the 1960s, the late 50s, they in many ways preempted the more recent critiques of Korea's rapid development as well. So the question is then, why film noir? Why would I do something looking at film noir? Why not historical films, for instance, or melodramas? And this is for a number of reasons. And I think film noir has long been considered an aesthetic response to conditions of modernity. And there's a lot of scholars make this argument that its pessimistic depiction of crime, corruption, inequality, urbanization, gender and race render it a filmic mode that is by its very nature critical and critical of modernity. Scholars have also argued that this critique of modernity is what makes film noir a global or a transnational form, and that common to film noir coming from all different parts of the world is this critique of development and modernity and the inequality that stems from it. Okay. As Dennis Brough, for instance, argues, film noir initially developed as a critique of capitalist modernity. It articulated disenfranchisement with socioeconomic equalities stemming from post-war economic transformation. And this critique is most evident in the film's depictions of crime. Okay. And Dennis Brough makes this argument as well, and it's sort of, there's a quote on the screen that for this reason, leftist filmmakers were attracted to film noir as a form, and they used it and sort of jumped upon it to express discontent and critique sort of the inequalities that stemmed from development at this time. Now, film noir admittedly has traditionally been considered an American form, but scholars have begun to note that it is this socio-political critique that makes it a transnational form, okay? And it occurred in countries that were experiencing sort of similar economic and social upheavals as the US was following and during World War II. Oops. These are my... Okay. Yeah. Okay, there. So, and essentially, yeah, this it is this, my slides are different on my computer and on here, but that's fine. It's this critique of modernity that really renders film noir to be a transnational or a global form, okay? It expresses sort of disquiet or concerns about modernity, and it's a response to the trauma that stems from this. So question time. And this is always, I think, a really interesting exercise, and I like asking people this. If, for those that are in the room, and if you're online as well, feel free to maybe comment in the chat box. What is it that makes a Korean noir Korean? What is it that makes a film noir? If you had to just call out, what things come to mind when you think of film noir? Violence? Yeah. Crime? Dark. Shadow? Yep. Blood? Yep. Backstreets? Yep. Fancy dialogue, yeah. French coat, exactly right. Rain, yeah. And I think it's a really interesting one, and I'm going to flick through a bunch of images now. Femme fatale. Corrupt rich people, great. That works very, that supports my thesis, so thank you for that. I'm just going to scroll through really quickly a bunch of sort of images, which are taken from Korean films, and I think sort of really highlight all of the things that everyone has just mentioned. And I think this is it's an interesting one because there is a lot of debate around what is a film noir, okay, and is it a genre, etc. But the fact of the matter is that everyone here today has displayed that people have a very specific idea of what a film noir is and what its conventions are, okay? And scholars have argued, you know, that this stems from sort of all the academic discussion on film noir, that it has conventions that sort of make it distinguishable enough to be imitated, therefore it exists as a genre. Now, my argument is that a Korean noir is a film that displays these characteristics. Now, I won't go into genre identification now, but if someone has a question, I'm happy to answer that. I admittedly, this isn't a great or a perfect approach to genre identification, but as Janet Steger makes the point, nothing really is. Okay, and so my argument is that a Korean noir is a film that displays these conventions. Now, what makes a Korean noir Korean then? And often national cinemas, the national aspect of a cinema, has typically been defined in terms of national specificity, okay? This search for, okay, what is the cultural or aesthetic difference about Korean cinema that distinguishes it from Japanese cinema, from Hollywood? And more often than not, I think in the context of Asia, this national specificity has sort of been defined in traditional terms. And especially Japanese cinema sort of was where this stemmed from. Early studies looking at Japanese cinema talked about, you know, this sort of quaint traditional aesthetic. Now, this is quite problematic in the case of Korea, though, because in looking for distinctiveness, it ignores cultural exchange. And in the case of Korean noir, this problem is twofold. Korean noir is sort of an amalgamation of references from other national cinemas that originated in Hollywood. So is this just a case of imitation? And on top of that, Korea, by very nature of its historical experience, it sort of, when it was developing its own film industry, it didn't have a cinematic tradition to draw upon, arguably, and so looked to other national cinemas too. So arguably lacks distinctiveness. And there's a couple of quotes here, which I'll put on the screen, that really demonstrate this thinking. Korean filmmakers are ridiculous in their over-eager appropriation of Hollywood models. Okay. South Korean film industry acknowledges its relentless imitation of foreign trends and genres, and it leads to an interesting yet schizophrenic result. So I guess my argument with regards to what makes a Korean noir Korean is, I think we need to take this cultural exchange into account. We need to... recognize the fact that Korean and all cinemas are subject to a process of cultural exchange. And in this process, global forms undergo, a process of localization to where they're made relevant for their local context. In the case of, In the case of Korean noir, this localization is evident in what Christina Klein refers to as surface crime, deep crime. Okay, and what Christina Klein argues is that in any given sort of film noir, you've got the surface crime. This is the act of crime that drives the narrative for the film. But in investigating this surface crime, a deep crime appears. And these are sort of the structural injustices that exist in any given society. And Christina Klein makes the case that it's these revelations of deep crime that make a film specific to the Korean context, that render Korean noir films more than sort of a Hollywood film with Korean faces, but localize it and provide a critique of the national context of that. So to finish with, I'm going to look at, when I get my slides, I'm going to provide one example of this. I've gone the wrong way. There we go. Okay. Example I'll provide is a film called Black Hair. This was a film made by Lee Man-hee. As the quote on the screen demonstrates, it displays a very, very obvious references to both Hollywood film noir and also Japanese crime films as well. Okay. Now, what the film is about is it's the girlfriend of a mob boss is sexually assaulted by one of his gangsters who is an opium addict. As a result, the boss is forced to kick her out of the gang and slash her face. She resorts to working in prostitution, and then slowly it becomes this sort of, I guess, redemption and also partly a revenge narrative as well. So that is, I guess, the surface crime of this film. Now, the film is set in really, really dark, gritty urban spaces. And as she embarks on this process of redemption, we sort of see the deep crime surfaces. And this is something that, for example, the quote on the screen really connotes with the project of urban modernity. Okay, and in this experience of sort of redemption, we see inequality, class violence rises to the surface. We see urban decay, organized crime is prevalent in Seoul that is experiencing this process of urban renewal or redevelopment. Drugs are everywhere. There's violence, there's prostitution. In short, there's lawlessness, which shows the inability or ineffectiveness of the state and the police force to be able to contain everything that's going on. Okay, I'll finish up there. If anyone has any questions about this, more than happy to answer them from there. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening.